After they scored, we had an off the line clearance by the guy who scored us.
Bro, I saw. Man. They are really.
Yeah, literally last they scored us the second goal. But some days like that, we did not expect. I don't think any realistic person expected us to win every single game. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. It's your boy Chidalo. I'm here with Namdi today. Namdi, how far has your weekend been?
I do, man. It's okay, weekend, you know. Man, you drew. Haaland. You know, it's a good weekend.
Well, for me, an Arsenal fan, it's probably not been the greatest weekend. I've definitely had much better weekends this season. But it's all right. We still move.
You feel like City's putting some press on your neck. I mean, 4 points, though. 4 points gap going into the weekend, into the international break. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad, of course. If they gave me this before the start of the season, by the 11th game, you'd be 4 points ahead of City going into the international break. But I would have beaten off their hands. But still, given the situation, we could have been if some results went our way. That's where the disappointment is, because like if we beat Sunderland, you know, it would have been nice. And if Liverpool won today or drew, that would have been a much better position, I would say, of course.
I mean, all those things, those possibility of all that happening. Liverpool, I feel like even for Liverpool, they would still have lost that game. They just didn't look up to speed.
They were terrible. They were outplayed. But let's start with United's game actually instead. So that was the first game of the weekend.
They wanted to piss me off.
What wanted to piss you off?
United. Like, Tottenham is not really, I mean, they're okay, but like, that was only their best team. If they actually, and I'm sure it starts somewhere, like, before the game, like, if you are basing the league just on away form, home form, which is weird, Tottenham would have been like fought from the bottom.
Yeah, they've been terrible. This is a new stadium since they moved in. I saw a crazy start where like they are about to match Arsenal in terms of losses in the home stadium, and Arsenal moved into the Emirates way back in like 2004 or 2005 or something like that. Well, they literally just moved into a new stadium and they're about to lose as many games as we've lost in our entire time in how many years?
Oh, wow. That's true. Okay.
That kind of shows how badly they've performed since they moved stadiums.
It's like
toilet bowl looking stadium.
I was saying, man, you should have won that game, but it's okay.
I mean, Spurs has always been a tough place for you guys to go to.
Fair, but man, they weren't even in full like power. Like they had a lot of Madison out, Kudus out. Who else? Like, bro, we should have won the game.
No, you guys were actually playing really well. I think when they made their subs that they took out Javi Simmons, Idiabola, took out Javi Simmons, put in a bunch of new other players, and this left winger, this guy had Ahmad on skates throughout that game.
Bro, that old rubber guy, man.
What's the name again?
I don't know.
Wait. I put it on the group chat.
Yeah,
that was disturbing. Odobert, yeah, Odobert's balled out.
Exactly.
I think he had a hand in just in two of the goals. I think.
I mean, I don't blame Ahmad. Ahmad is no defender. It's okay.
Richarlison should stop taking out his shirt, because every time he takes out his shirt, you know that something bad will happen.
The biggest problem was Casemiro being gone. That was just it. When, like, they didn't score till Casemiro left. Casemiro leaves. Our backup is Ugarte. Ah, God, I hate Ugarte. I can't wait for him to go. There's no, like, I see absolutely no reason why he should still be in Man U next.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he had his worst game, Sha. But overall,
bro, he always is him, bro. I don't hear that. I don't hear that. He's definitely.
You guys have a very, very bad record in playing Tottenham away from home. 2-2. And I guess the fact you guys came back like you did, I would say that's a plus towards the mentality side.
I agree. I think that definitely helped a lot.
No, though, I don't know if Manu has ever lacked for mentality or the potential. I feel like if you give them, if you allow them, they will probably take it.
This guy, last season, he wouldn't have done this, bro. Definitely had.
What about Leon?
That's Europa. We had Ginger in Europa. We have Ginger in the Prem, bro. Last season, we won't have done this for sure. And then with that Leon, too, still low key under Amorim. Like prior to Amorim, bro, comebacks, few and far between. Surprise wins, but coming back, not really, bro.
So you feel like this was a bad result, or do you think it as a good result? Did we lose Nnamdi? We definitely lost Nnamdi.
Sorry, my shit glitched. I don't think it was a bad result, to be honest. Like, realistically, I probably thought we would draw. Our waveform is not the best, but we're getting draws, which is better than losses.
Mm.
So my prediction of us coming like top 8 at the end of the season, this is kind of what I expect. So still in line. Like, we won't, like, I'm patient. I don't really think this team is going to be anything crazy. I think we'll do better for sure. I know we'll do better than last season, but...
Well, given how teams in and around that top 9 keep falling over each other, don't you think you guys can be more ambitious?
Nah, bro. Because the fact that top 9 is even this close means season is not really... It's not really clear. Shit is just happening. Like, we needed to really, like, settle. And then it's like, okay, where are teams really supposed to be? I feel like we're still... Everybody's still kind of benefiting or not benefiting from, like, the way the fixtures are set up, like, at the beginning of their season. Everybody hasn't played everybody yet. Things like that. So I feel like, okay, let me see what... When it looks like, okay... If you actually want to see where everybody, like, now you can't really predict how the season will go. Like, so I can't really say anything. I know I still believe top 8 for sure. But for now, as far as saying we're going to be in top 6 or top 5, I don't even know who's really going to be in top 6 or top 5 as of right now. I mean, of course, Arsenal, City, Liverpool might not make it. We don't even know. Like,
I'll be surprised if Liverpool don't at least make top 4. But honestly, as it's looking, like you're right, the table is looking kind of interesting from second to ninth. It's very cool. One win can just catapult you up to second at this point. Right. Third.
I don't know why we're second now. So, like...
Sunderland was second for a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Barring, you know, winning the games and stuff, but... Like, other teams not playing yet. But, like, nah, I don't know. I need to wait till, like, January. I feel like January, or after January, February, really. Then I'll be like, okay, what are we really doing? Because...
February is far. I think after December, January, things should have shaped up. Not many surprises from there.
Like, continue past the holidays, the way things are looking. Like, the Premier League is very strong.
Yeah, but I mean,
February for the transfer window too. Let's see what people do during the transfer window. Hopefully, might be active.
That's true. Maybe February, but generally, though, I feel like around January, you know what your target is. Are you going for top 4? Are you going for the title? Are you going for top 6, or are you trying to consolidate your mid table, or are you trying to survive relegation? I think around January, your goal will be clear.
We'll know that one early.
What did you say?
I feel like surviving relegation, you go know that one early.
you'll be shocked. I mean, running for Sunderland, there was a team called Hull City around 2008. They were actually better than they are right now in the league at this point. Ended up fighting relegation or probably even getting relegated. If I'm wrong, people comment and tell, let me know. But I think they were around the relegation side come the end of the season. I don't know if they were actually relegated.
It's, man. They are a good team.
Yeah, yeah, but people thought Hull City were at the time.
Nah, I'm sure some
stranger things have happened.
Yeah, bro. They bought quality players that have experience.
Yeah, like, before we go to Sunderland, though, I wanted to ask, because you mentioned Tottenham. They have had a lot of injuries. Given that they've not been that terrible, they've actually been some. They've been to an extent consistent in their form so far this season. Them or Man U, who do you think is more likely to end up maybe top six? These are teams with very, very similar situations last season and this season, actually.
In a way, I think Thomas Frank is a manager than Amarim as of right now.
Because I think they've done fairly well considering their injuries.
Yeah, I'm saying, and then if you include maybe no injury issues, I think Tottenham, to be honest. Do they have an overall better squad?
It's arguable. I think you guys have a pretty... You guys have a pretty strong team.
I think the problem with it is just that...
They have a better midfield, for sure. I think so.
Yeah, and I think the major problem with Amorim's system is the midfield. And we don't have the right players for even a starting 11 midfield, which is what we keep suffering from. Like, even putting Bruno back. Bruno's our most creative player. He's playing in a further back position. I'm not saying he's doing horribly there, but he's not doing amazing. Even that Tottenham game, it was shit. You know, it was just, okay. He will always have individual brilliance, so that's why you can't sub him off. Like, he's the one that crossed did the corner for the Elite to equalize. So, like, check
the Elite. The Leeds has had a pretty solid season.
No, the Leeds is pretty.
I think he's coming good, because I think he had a very, very midi to poor start for you guys.
I don't think he had a poor start. I think
midi to poor, because I don't think he was that great. There were some few.
He wasn't that is now for sure, but yeah. I didn't think, why did we buy him? This guy is trash.
Yeah, I get.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I think that of Sesko.
Sesko? Yeah. Sesko had a poor game.
I
but...
know that he's going to need some more time generally. I know that. So.
Yeah, first.
But it's like, damn, how we buy like every time. For the past few years, all the strikers we've purchased have been for the future strikers. Like, I don't need any guardian for the future striker. Give you somebody now. Like,
anyway, I think, do you have any other thoughts on Man U? Should we move on? Cunha, what do you think about Cunha?
Cunha is mercurial. I just accept him like that. He's gonna have good games, he's gonna have bad games.
Yeah, Mbeumo has been amazing.
Yeah,
Mbeumo has been amazing. Shout out to Mbeumo.
Signing of the summer. For sure. Him or Lamens, to be honest. And Lamens is not, because Lamens is like extraordinary quality. But I think for the position that he's in, we were in such a shit position that him just doing the basics right has changed the dynamics of the whole team. Like, his role is extremely crucial to improving the whole team.
That's fair.
Best signing player is definitely Mbeumo.
Yeah, Mbeumo has been amazing. Like, you can't even criticize Mbeumo at all.
Cunha, you figure it out. I don't.
Yeah, Cunha is very hot and cold.
Yeah, and I think that's just who he is. I feel like a lot of Brazilians too usually end up being like that. It's just a thing there. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. He might need more time to adjust, which is weird to say.
He's a prem player. Why would he need time to adjust?
Well, I mean, he might just need more time to adjust to the tactics and what's expected of him.
Okay. I think, because I've watched him for Wolves a lot, there are games where he would have like, oh my gosh, this guy is very unstoppable. Like, how does he even have bad games? You think you have that thought, but in the next game, he's barely have no impact. In fact, even within the same game, he'll be amazing for the for 5-10 minutes and then he'll completely disappear for the next 20-50 minutes. But yeah, maybe his style of play maybe requires a lot of energy, so maybe he does tend to like gas out sometimes.
I don't think so, man. I don't think so. I mean, I can see some passes running from midfield with that ball, man. And I'm like, so I can see that to an extent, but I don't think it's just an energy distribution issue. I think that's just who he is. I think it's like Bruno. Bruno is our most consistent, creative outlet and is a quality player. But there are games where he will just be missing and not do anything. Like this touchdown game, he was not relevant. He's just, okay, corner came, kicked the right, did the ball well, and he hits in Daly's head and he entered. So, like...
I have come to appreciate the art of taking a corner.
I'm not against it. I'm not against that for sure. I'm just saying, like...
He strikes the ball well, so...
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being real, and this was maybe a couple matches ago, I don't know if the stats have changed drastically. But, of course, Arsenal is first in SPCs, but Manu was, like, third. Like, SPCs. So, it's like, I can't hate on that. Clearly.
Wherever you can get... I think it's a good time to move on to Arsenal. Wherever you get a goal, you appreciate it. So this is one of the few games where I would say Arsenal were... We are dominated set piece wise. We didn't score a single goal from a set piece, and we conceded from set piece, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Land are probably one of the few teams, maybe alongside Newcastle, that can probably match Arsenal physicality to physicality. Mm. They're a very, very strong outfit. Yep, because I think early on I realized that because we had a bunch of corners in the beginning of the game, and they were getting to the ball first. Normally, even if we don't score, we usually. And Arsenal here, they probably touch the ball. You get me? Maybe Gabriel or something. But these guys had huge players as well. Like, competing with us, fighting, dropping our play, not letting us string passes together. Foul after foul after foul. I was getting very, very annoyed. I wonder the players out on the pitch, how they were feeling. But yeah, they were insane. They were definitely out for blood. I'm like, guy, this is not... We're not fighting... you're not fighting Carthagians or some... this is not some... It's not war. They literally came like you're out there to battle.
That's how I knew. Like when I is when we beat them. Is when I felt like okay, Man U might be serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not saying serious to like go crazy, but serious enough that okay, my top eight is valid because like they are actually a very good team. Like they're a very good team, and then the way that we handled that game, I'm like okay. So like
this, especially.
All their goals were mad.
Yeah, they are unbeaten at home for a long stretch of games now. They've not lost at home this season for starters.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, they've not lost at home this season at all, and they've not even played Schmucks as well. Yeah, you guys did a good job beating them. Even though I felt like they were they seemed very within themselves when they played you guys. They didn't play you guys the same way they played Chelsea in Stamford Bridge. Like,
yeah, fair.
They seem scared. Maybe it's aura. Man, use aura, kill them.
Out, man, lost our aura, man. We don't have aura anymore.
This that Ballard guy, and this is where you actually start to see the importance of a song like Gyökeres. The fact that Ballard could leave his position and basically just saunter forward and go and score, you realize that, like, because if Gyökeres is there in that game, that doesn't happen. Merino does not occupy the center backs as much as Gyökeres does.
Yeah,
but he's a menace up front. Merino he will float, come into the middle, you know, string passes together, basically just leave his position and find a way back there. But he's not the type to like stay in the box and keep hustling for everything and scrapping for everything with defenders. He's not that kind of player. So that's where I feel like he was missing. Defensively, I think Gyökeres makes us stronger, which is weird for a center forward. But I think he makes us a stronger defensive team, to be honest. Because even the last game we played without him, that's Slavia Prague. Bro, there are a lot of hairy moments within that game. And I could see that, like, guy, I don't think we're as defensively strong right now with this guy out of the team.
I mean, attack is the best form of defense now. That's what they say.
Yeah, but he starts. He's a hustler. Loki, that might also be taken away from his goal scoring.
I mean, this. I think they said I saw somewhere in an interview where they talked to Arteta before he signed Gyökeres. He asked him, "Are you okay having games where you're not scoring? Like having mm-hmm. a run of games where you're not scoring, and you're just, but you're still being useful to the team, you know?" And of course, I mean, he's there now, so I'm assuming his answer was yes. So, I think you guys always wanted a player that would offer more than just goals. I mean, but are you okay if the goals don't come, you know?
Yeah. So, as long as you're...
Once goals don't come, their sense starts to reduce.
Yep. We have an example of that later in this show. Right now, the fact that he's not there, he's a bigger loss than I thought he would be. Not really. He's a bigger loss than I thought he would be. And not just that, though. Odegaard as well. That midfield, especially that first half, doesn't have as much dynamism as Odegaard has.
Yeah, for sure.
He tried. Second half, he definitely improved. And you could see the moment he started leading the press and doing all of that, our passing, our play became faster. Everything became quicker. We became a better team. But Odegaard can sustain that for longer stretches than Eze can. Yeah, Odegaard can sustain that for longer stretches than Eze can.
I mean, you signed him not to be... I mean, he's good, but he's not better than Odegaard.
Yeah, especially in that right 8 or 10 position. But second half, he definitely stepped up his game and improved a lot. But also, yeah, man, I guess maybe this might give teams the info on how to actually play Arsenal in a sense. Being very, very
good. Yeah.
How to play Arsenal by being very
good. Once you have a couple games like that, then it's okay. everybody go watch the game now.
But what I'm not worried though is that I don't think that there are many teams that are as physically strong as Sunderland or Newcastle.
Yeah, that's
and fair. This game, despite the fact that they did match us physically, we had a lot of chances to win. We got a lot of chances to actually score two more goals than we did. But we just didn't take them. We also Arsenal looked very exhausted too towards the end of the second half. And I wish Arteta made subs a bit earlier. But I'm thinking that, but also I looked at the bench. I saw Waniri, Dalman. In our team, I don't think I'll put Waniri or Dalman against a side as physically robust as Sunderland, who are ready to die on that field. I probably wouldn't put them. But so I get why he put Mosquera, a centre back, an extra centre back, and took off Eze, who are very tired. But I think instead of going for shutting up shop and shutting down the defense,
I don't think it was because. You know, Trump. I think he was looking for less cross, maybe set piece, something will work.
Yeah, but then we lost control. So we're still having to defend more, and they were now the ones actually attacking towards the end of the game. Maybe that's fine because you could say we just have 3 minutes left or 4 minutes left that you can see off the game like that. But you can be unlucky, we're unlucky, they end up scoring. So me. I mean, at the end of the FM is not real life. I feel like I'd have gone for more control. Maybe put someone like Skelly in the midfield and take out Eze so that he can maybe enter that midfield and disrupt something. Xhaka was on a red card. Maybe Skelly would have done something and Xhaka would have been sent off. Or and would have kept possession a bit more. I think at least keeping possession more and pegging them backward as opposed to inviting them. Yeah, it's like, but how am I criticized? We've done this many times and we've been successful this season. But I just think it's risky just inviting the opposition to come at you and cross and just depend on your defenders keep heading the ball away. That kind of ball makes me very nervous. I'd rather my team defend by keeping possession and passing it around and not letting the other team attack us. Yeah, but I think his biggest issue was not having that many options on the bench, really, this time around. For all our depth, we seemed quite threadbare to Saturday. But anyway, the only good news is that after the international break, lots of our players are coming back from injury.
Well, who's coming back?
Apparently, Jesus, Havertz, Odegaard, Madueke, the bunch of other names I saw coming back. I think it's seven attackers are coming back.
Jesus is not really relevant, man.
No, he can be useful if he gets back to his best. If he can get back to anything close to his best, he's not a starter, but he's someone that can definitely cause havoc.
I mean, it's good to have on the bench. I can see that, and he might actually be healthier staying on the bench.
Yeah, coming into close games. He can still carry the ball as much as he used to. Maybe not in set piece, more like bringing chaos. He's a pretty good dribbler on his own day. Yeah, but another thing, that striker, who is what's his name? The Sunderland striker. I think it's Broby. Man, that guy was a menace. This guy stressed the heck out of Gabriel and Saliba more than any other striker I've seen this season.
Didn't Broby come from Ajax?
I think he's an Arsenal boy. Or is he Ballard? I think one of the two goal scorers actually came from Arsenal's academy. He might be Ballard. I think Broby's from Ajax.
I don't give him full contract.
Guy, Xhaka seemed like he had it. He tried. I mean, Xhaka is a good player, but he was trying too hard, in my opinion. He was trying too hard. Opinion, but shout out
for his game. He's not supposed to try too hard. I beg you.
This man was trying too hard. I remember when I saw him like screaming at Merino when he fouled Merino. One instance in the game, I was like, "Yo, get out, man! Just get out." I'm very happy. No Arsenal player went to go and shake him. Besides Hincapié after the game, guy acting like a dickhead. This dude, Rice had a very very good game.
Yeah,
I saw that. Trossard did well too. Not as well in the first half, but he definitely became better in the second half and scored a mad goal for his efforts. Okay.
And mad goal is like this. He's not as bad as Darwin Nunez. Because Nunez was crazy. Only spectacular goals he'll score. Regular chance he'll miss, but Trossard, I don't know why. I felt like when you guys signed Trossard, I always thought he would take Martinelli's shirt, but there's something about him that's just not letting him get to the levels that I feel like he can get to.
I think maybe more his defensive contributions can be leaves a lot to be desired sometimes. I think Martinelli gives you more. Like if he's not scoring, he's giving you more like defensively as well. Trossard does not have the athleticism that Martinelli has. And for the system we play that requires a lot of pressing and hard work, Martinelli definitely has an edge. Yeah, Trossard can be a bit, even though he can be a pest, but he's a bit lightweight.
Yeah,
someone who surprises me in terms of that, I thought he was a lot more lightweight than he actually is Zubimendi. Zubimendi seems like he can hold his own in the Premier League.
No, he can't. I watched him play for Spain and he just seems rugged. Like,
yeah, he's very
rugged. Like one of those street boys. That's the vibe that he gives me. So I can definitely see him doing. I don't see him like struggling in the Prem. I didn't see him. I didn't expect him to struggle in the Prem. And clearly he's not struggling. He's doing pretty well. I feel like all your signings take time to like adapt. I mean, the only one maybe you say is maybe what's his name? Gyökeres, as far as like goal scoring. But as far as like adapting, he still does well. He does all the other things well. So we'll see. Well, that's the thing. His goal scoring, I think his goal scoring will still definitely improve. If you don't score like 50 plus goals, it's just a matter of time. But he does everything else right.
Yeah. As long as we win games, I don't care who scores the goals. Anyway, I think Sunderland, they came with the intensity, they came with the energy, and that was a well-deserved draw. Deserving draw, at least for their efforts. Maybe not in terms of chances, but they really worked hard for that draw. Arsenal, on the other hand, hopefully this is not the result that comes to haunt us in April. That's what I'm hoping.
Hopefully
that's not the case. But maybe to an extent, we're a bit unlucky. I feel like the team is tiring a bit.
I said the Zubimendi's bar, yeah.
Yeah, and even after they scored, we had an off the line clearance by the guy who scored us, Ballard.
Oh, bro, I saw that, man. They are willing.
Yeah, literally last. Because I wish they scored us the second goal, but. Some days are like that. We did not expect. I don't think any realistic person expected us to win every single game. So this happens as long as we pick ourselves back up and keep going on these kind of runs, we'll be fine. And also, we're having a lot of players come back after the international break. So, like I said earlier in this call, if you gave me the same position before the season started,
yeah, I'll
definitely take it. Yeah. But anyway.
No rest. They could not let you guys just win and go.
Of course. I'm surprised at the result, but I'm not surprised at how difficult the game was. Yeah.
I'm talking about Liverpool.
City Liverpool?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Do you talk about Chelsea Wolves first or City Liverpool? Or you want to go straight to City versus Liverpool?
Which one? Chelsea Wolves?
No, there's not much to say. I'm pretty sure I had Joao Pedro on my FPL just because they were playing Wolves.
I mean, yeah, they dominated Wolves easy, man. I won't say in my own eyes it was a competitive game, to be honest. So
after the first half ended 0-0, I was like, can I hope that an upset will happen? The second I got notification that this guy has scored, I was like, need to watch this game.
Yeah, it was coming. They were pressing their head. Yeah, it didn't even make sense, to be honest. So many chances. And then Wolves also looked like they were not serious as a team. I don't even know. Like, the passes were just sloppy. They were getting cut out in different positions. Yeah, it didn't even feel like it was really up for, to be honest.
Bro, this man, they have won zero games this season so far. They might be the team shortest for relegation at this point in time in the season, to be honest, if something doesn't change quickly.
They have not won any game this season.
Nope. And they've drawn only two. So the rest are losses. Eh?
Have they changed manager?
I don't think they've changed manager yet. So they might have. I'll be very surprised. They haven't.
They haven't changed manager. That's crazy work.
Wait, they might have. Let me see. Yeah. So is it Rob Edwards set to be appointed Wolves head coach soon?
Okay.
So yeah.
Because they need
changing manager.
It helps. If you haven't won Premier League game by now, you are definitely going
for it. Yeah, they're sacked with Vitor Pereira. But let's see if that changes anything. You know, maybe new manager bounce. But hopefully that does not happen. Hopefully I feel like this at the point we play them. That's why I don't have any time for any kind of
new manager bounce. That's not bro. Bro, they look so poor. They look so poor. I hope we face them soon. Maybe we just want to chop some points.
Get to your free 3 points.
Yeah. Like, it was really, bro, the way Chelsea dominated them, it didn't even make sense. I was just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, Esteval, yo, Garnacho was on something. Garnacho seemed to have really settled well with Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think he gave 2 assists. Yeah, I saw his cross to Augusto was on the money.
That one was pinpoint, like directly on his head. Just went straight. So, I mean,
that was a high quality cross.
I mean, like, I'm happy. Let's well. I like that. You let them do well. Like, there are other clubs, just not against us.
Yeah, I heard he was fast, but there are certain games I saw him play for Man U. Like, is this guy really fast? He has a very his pace is not pacing. Like, it's not.
I mean,
but against Wolves, he looks very fast.
Yeah, but I don't think he's fast, bro. I think I don't know how he does it, but. I don't know. I don't really. I watched him so many times. I never really got speed demon from him. So,
which of the goals where he burnt one of the Wolves defenders for pace? I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, but that
the one that this guy, he timing a nice cross that kind of head.
Timing of it is into a factor there at that point, you know. And unless, like I said, Wolves will be so shit, bro. Like, I'm using this to rate how well he's doing. I mean, I think he's doing okay. I mean, they spent 40 million. Like, they spent a crazy amount on him. So
yeah, he's doing well so far. Anyway, there's not much to say about Chelsea's game. Honestly, I don't think we learned anything new about Chelsea or about Wolves in that game.
I just going to.
So we can just move on. We can move on to Manchester City versus Liverpool.
I'm sure they thought today is a day.
Guy, no, which penalty? The one City got?
Yeah, I'm sure after they missed, Haaland missed it, Liverpool must have been thinking today is a day.
Arsenal were thinking today was day. I was thinking today was my day when City missed the penalty. Bro, probably this is the first time I've rooted for Liverpool in a long time. When Haaland missed that penalty, I felt that penalty was low-key shady, but like let's leave that one. When Haaland missed that, I was like, yes, because I was praying for a draw. I was praying for a draw, or at worst, Liverpool win.
Fair.
But you know, as the gods of football can be, you know, they can be quite cruel on Chidalo sometimes, and they made sure City won, and they won handsomely.
Yeah,
but also that cancelled goal, yeah, I felt that was very sketchy, man. See, this is why I love City, I love Guardiola, but sometimes those find it hard to really appreciate their greatness and his greatness when they be getting calls like that. It's so annoying, man. It's really so annoying.
No, it's not his fault. I mean, this person should have it should have been a goal, but I don't think it should have changed the dynamics of the game, man.
No. It wouldn't. Out of that, this point that defenders are just causing havoc and missing chances, but Gakpo always causes some kind of trouble.
Do you know why?
Why?
They spent £115 million on Wirtz. He must play ball. That's the super short truth. Egetike is phenomenal. He's doing his thing. Leave him there. Go and do his thing. Leave him there.
I think
Mohamed Salah. Leave him there.
I think that's the same reasons you said. So was like leave him there, bro. Gakpo, you should leave him there. Gakpo is
no. I agree.
In one of them, you know.
Who would they take out? They're not taking out £115 million.
You're playing against City. City has been on the roll, and you're not putting your best team out there, regardless of how much money is spent on the players. Like, come on.
That's how should be. Every game should be. You should always put out your best players. No. But if you told the board, come and spend the £150 million on this player, I need him.
Yo, Salah. If I was him, I would be playing Salah in the easier games. I know he can do special.
You bench Salah
for a game like this.
Mohamed Salah in a game like this.
Yes, because so far he's shown this season in doing.
And then you will leave Florian Wirtz on the pitch and bench Mohamed Salah.
last game, I think Wirtz played pretty well, actually. And guess who still played rubbish?
Salah was not poor this game though.
No, he was pretty poor. He was pretty almost non-existent. How many times
did he miss? The cross was the superior goal was enough from Salah. There's a chance that he had. That one was really close. He should have scored it. Unfortunately, he just barely missed it.
I know Wirtz was poor, but Salah has been poor for a long time. And I actually think Salah has been poorer than Wirtz overall. Even I think Wirtz does get more criticism just because of how much money was spent on
but
him.
But Salah has things to defend why he should still be on that team. Yes. He's done more than enough. Wirtz has not done anything.
I think play Salah most of the games. But a game like this where you know, bro, because honestly, Salah usually
plays. Think about his confidence.
Salah usually plays rubbish, but he then does something special. But in a game like this, you cannot depend on that 1 in a million chance that he will do something special. And he's not giving those numbers again. Normally, I'll keep him on the pitch. But he's giving 30 goals.
The person that has scored the most goals against City is Mohamed Salah.
He's not doing that
like
anymore.
Under Pep Guardiola.
He's
not anymore. It's just this season, bro. And that's the thing. But you don't know when he can click for Salah. Like, that's the thing. Salah, you have to go the whole season to be like, nah, Salah is not that nigga anymore. Or two seasons, really. To be like, oh, he's not that. If he scored this game, his whole trajectory can click and then boom.
We said that when he scored in the Champions League, okay, yes, this might be it for Salah. Like, he might be coming back. But he has gone a couple of games now where he's still giving very, very... Even with the games he scores, honestly, man, his performance generally is always quite poor for a while now.
I mean, but even last season, his performances were still poor and he was still scoring goals.
No, I actually think he was better first half of the season. I think he became poor after they signed contract. See, at least with Gakpo. Gakpo is giving you a lot of contribution defensively.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, maybe, okay, maybe
Salah, if like Salah is Salah, not the one.
If like play Salah, but Wirtz, where would you play Wirtz?
It's Wirtz that Wirtz should be over Gakpo. Wirtz should not have been playing over Gakpo.
Honestly,
if I'm being real,
if it's me this game, I might actually have benched Salah because I know Man City play against Man City in Etihad. You need everyone to be defensively turned on 100%. You cannot have any passengers. And Salah was a passenger defensively.
Yeah.
For this specific game, I'd have been Salah. Most games are bench for it, but this game, I'd have been Salah. So, Doku. This is one of those kind of performances that like, you think that you always refer to, like, yeah, Doku had that performance. Like, this was a one of one. Like, he was a serious. Yeah, I say in the group chat, if anybody tell Conor Bradley that Vinicius is better than Doku, he will slap you.
Yeah, it's not possible, man.
After the kind of lockdown performance he had against Vinicius, yeah. I'm sure that's what earned him the starting position in this game today.
For sure.
For you to be dragged around like a thief.
Doku was not same, man. And that's the thing, like, I feel like I've started to notice that Pep is becoming a little more freer in his ideologies and how he plays.
Yeah.
Because people are in the beginning when you come, they're like, you will kill Doku's dribbling, or you will do this, you will do that. But Doku is far from robotic. Like, Doku still does his thing and, you know, makes his impacts.
Yeah, he was popping up everywhere. He was popping up on the left. He was popping up centrally. He was doing things on his usual left wing. This is what Wirtz was supposed to be doing for Liverpool, literally. This guy, I didn't even think Doku had that to his game. I remember the pass he gave to Foden. That was the best part of the game. Like, he could slow the game down. Take a mad pass. He could take his man on. He even showed he could score. I didn't think he had that one in him. Like, he scored today.
That shot might also have been short of confidence. You know? Yeah, when he didn't confidence, he died.
I think that's what it was. He was like, no. Because he tried it earlier when he took on, I think, was it Robertson and this guy, Gravenberch, and kind of went in between them without his sideways move, sideways dribble. Wow, entered and, like, tried the first shot and he was straight at the keeper. Not long after that, he did this maybe more centrally, but a similar move, using that shifty move and called one to the top corner. That was definitely a shot of confidence.
Yeah. He was feeling himself during this game for sure. I mean, what do you expect, sir?
This is probably one of the best individual performances I've seen this season so far by one player. Yeah. He scored one goal, but it was crazy. Like, this was definitely not a. I guess it's showing us that he's not a Haaland team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haaland still did what he needed to do. He, you know, still scored the first goal. You know, I feel like that also helps.
That goal was lucky-ish. Actually, no, it was not lucky. I think he expected this guy to actually get his head on it, but he did what his striker is supposed to do. He still jumps anyway.
When his striker did,
this defender will get the ball. But that guy messed up. Who was it? I don't know. I don't remember.
It was this guy now, Konate. He stayed with Konate the whole game. If you notice, he stayed on Konate's side the whole game. He just left Virgil to be doing his thing. He definitely, I don't know if it was instructions or he chose it himself. But yeah, he was definitely on Konate the whole game.
Van Dijk and Konate are having a nightmarish season so far. I'm not even, at this point, it's competition. Who is worse? Is it Kekers? Is it Konate? Is it Van Dijk? Is it the one they are dragging? The one that Doku is dragging? To be fair, this is probably his first poor game so far. Bradley.
Yeah, I mean, And I wouldn't even say it's really a poor game. He just met someone who was just superior. Like, that just, like, it just happens. Like, I sometimes I don't blame players in those kind of situations. And then, you know, it's easier to blame a defender because, you know, most of the time, if you're one-on-one, it's very easy to pinpoint. But sometimes the player is just in beast mode, man. It's very tough to,
yeah, like, one-on-one, 2v2, 1v2. Eating up everybody. It's not, this is when I was just called in the IA the Premier League. This guy, look at my house, something to say about that. I can't lie.
Of course, he has something to say about that, son.
Look, my definitely has something to say about that. This guy went super saiyan today.
And this is the first goal of the season. Yeah, he was just having a good game. It just happens. Some days are just like that. But yeah, Doku is still a good impact player for sure. And I like the way City is playing. I think there's still some things that need to be worked out defensively, to be honest.
Nico Reilly has Salah in his pocket today. Maybe that might not be the hardest job in the world these days.
True, sir. Like, there was one time I saw Salah try to, like, do one dribble. Nico Reilly just, come on, yeah, just collected the ball. I was like, yeah, Salah is done, man. Yeah, he really
it took my boy's shirt though in England. I'm not very happy about that, but I mean, Tuchel said that Sally needs to play more games. I was like, you dumbass, what do you mean? He's playing some games already. Like,
I mean, he needs to play more now. Like, there's no way he's going to carry. Like, Skelly is not the kind of player that he has cemented his name in England. That is like, oh, we can't bench him if you're not playing.
Anyway. Let's continue with Liverpool for now. That would be, this is the competition for Thursday International Week. But,
fair.
With Nico Reilly definitely pocketed Salah, easy money. This guy, Nunez had a very very pretty, very very good game. I guess it's not like he faced the toughest competition these days in words, but he had a good game as well. Nunez is not even really a defender. I definitely still think this City team can be got at. I just think Slot did not do a good tactical job, in my opinion. I don't think he picks personnel well.
Tactical job. Besides Gakpo, who else should they have put in? To be honest, Slot is on fraud alert.
First, but Gakpo is a big one. He should have played that game. At least get at O'Reilly.
What I'm saying is just Gakpo. Like, to me personally, right now, Slot is on fraud alert. Like, watch out. Like, Liverpool didn't make any signing. Fair.
They broke the record two times.
Bro. I mean, Isak will still come good. There's no way Isak won't come good. Wertz might come
good. I didn't think Wertz would struggle them. I still think he'll come good eventually. Is Isak, I worry about more because Ekitike might not let that starting bet go that quickly.
No, I don't think he'll let it go, but like, if Isak even starts to look anything remotely like what he looked at in Newcastle, and you have that coming off your bench, that's crazy depth. So you'll still be okay.
As a striker, don't you think you need consistent games at least to get some kind of form? I think if Isak gets his hand on the first team shirt and like actually starting as a striker, eventually he'll come good for sure. But the issue with that is that if Ekitike is actually playing well, even though I don't think Ekitike had a good game, he was pretty much absent. So if he starts struggling and Isak comes in and starts scoring, of course, then Ekitike is the one you have to worry about. But I mean, maybe they can play together. Maybe they can go back to 4-4-2. But I feel like the god of football is not allowing 4-4-2 come back in vogue.
Bro, it's annoying me actually. I don't know. I don't know why it's not happening, but okay. It'd be nice to see 4-4-2. I haven't seen two strikers in a very long time.
Long time, except maybe in Tamilan.
Yeah.
We don't watch that much these days. But you guys hear me say that I still love my Serie A. But do you think Do you think City is reestablishing that, you know, that Premier League? Do you think they're back to the old City?
Come on, they need a Premier League to prove they're back to the old City.
Like I said before, I still think they can be gotten at, especially defensively. It just irks me that Liverpool didn't test them enough, especially down the flanks, because I don't think they have the best, especially in Martin Nunes. That's why I was so frustrated that Gakpo didn't start. Like, I think he could have been gotten at more. But
They're still missing Rodri.
This guy was great. Nico Gonzalez was great.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not good. He's been playing well, but you know, at the end of the day, he's not a Ballon d'Or winner. there are levels to this shit. So, you know, it's different. I don't know if Rodri even come back to the same player he was, you know, with this injury that he's been having. But yeah, Liverpool, I still see, like, they don't look unbeatable. They still look like, oh, something can still happen. The team that really looks unbeatable is still Arsenal, to be honest. So that's why I say have you guys as first. I mean, what do I think will happen? I'll still support my team, City. But realistically, based on form and how everything is going, I would say Arsenal. I'm hesitant to wait till, I want to wait till February. Let me see what February is looking like before I start making that kind of like serious prediction of who I'm really behind. Because January will come now. You might get a good reinforcement that could change the trajectory of your season. I'm hoping that happens for Man U. So we'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, that's fair. I want to say something. Have you noticed how they still pass pretty well? Like, they'll still create the triangles and, you know, give you some nice tiki-taka football once in a while. But I see City, like, try to take advantage of transition situations a lot more often than usual. Like,
and actually, Pep is adapting.
Yeah, for the past couple of games, they've not really had... It's been a while since I've seen them have their usual kind of, like, possession starts after a game.
I don't think Pep still focuses on... I think after last season, after all those losses, I think that's when Pep started to change his style. I think he said, fuck all this possession shit. Let's just focus on winning games. And I think he became more flexible. Yeah. Like, tactically now, you see he's way more flexible. That is all ideology of maybe pass 100 times before we shoot this ball.
Yeah, it looks like a distance memory right now.
I think I possess them now. That last season definitely broke him down mentally. Like, he really went through, like, that was a strong time in his career. And you're just like, They don't do all those things now. And then also with these new boys playing, I don't even think... I think for them to even get to that kind of thing, it would take years of playing together to get to that level of chemistry. There are so many new players in the team, you know, that have played each other for less than a year or two.
Also, maybe these just tactics tweaked to suit their current best player in Haaland.
I think so. I mean, but they've had Haaland since, so I don't think he's just... I feel like he could have done it before this game, you know? Like, before this season. Or before last. Like, Salah has been there for, like, well, this is what?
Third season?
Is this his third?
I think it's third. Wait. Yeah, I think it's third. Is his fourth? Has it been here that long?
I don't know. I need to look it up for me, I beg. But yeah, I think... Yeah, but I mean... It's true. So I think this was his 90-something goal in the Premier League.
You need one more to get to 100.
So
this was Pep's 1,000th game with, I think, 70-something... Like 70 or 71.
Yeah, 77%.
We need ratio. That's some football manager shit.
For real. If you play Football Manager, which I restarted, it's even better than that. Nah, Pep is
good. I'm telling you. And it was actually higher. I think it was probably 77 or so before last season. Last season,
for
just
sure.
It's away from that his crazy percentage.
That's why mentally he was clawing his head now. He did not believe.
He's still over 70%. That's still crazy. I think he's the first by a good distance, except.
Oh yeah, for
except,
sure.
Except lucky me, in my under 12, I've won 4 out of 5. I might be the greatest too.
Get 1,000 games first and then we'll see. 1,000 under 12 games first. Manage that one.
Bro, in my FM, I'm like 86%. But don't ask me how many games I restart. Anyway, bro, I would have preferred Liverpool to be the team behind Arsenal, man. The fact that City is behind us is kind of uncomfortable.
I don't think Liverpool's mount a serious challenge this season. I don't see it happening. Except,
do you think they're
like,
out of the title race?
I mean, they have the players to do it. That's just it. Like, Isak could always, like, the Premier League proven player. Like, I feel like, yes, he's having issues and injuries, but like, I feel like
those
clicks
overnight. I don't think their problem is in Isak clicking or not clicking. I don't even think their problem is in attack. They've conceded a ridiculous amount of goals. I don't see that changing. That's the issue.
I agree.
But that Isak click or doesn't click.
Last season, did they concede a lot of goals too? It's just they always outscored.
Not really. Actually, not really. Now they've conceded like, they broke record for being the first team to win Premier League to concede 20 something plus goals after 11 games.
They are not like for the Premier League champion.
It's crazy. They are conceding a ridiculous amount of goals.
How many goals have you guys conceded?
They are scoring. It went from 3 to 5 real quick. Oh. We went from being likely to break Chelsea's record to 5 goals in 11. It's not looking nice again.
I mean, 11 is not
bad. It's not
bad.
It's actually not bad.
It's not even bad at all in any way.
We haven't considered for a while. Just
bro, 11. Even if you lost all the games, like, not of course, not for your level, but like, if a team lost all the games and each, let's say you spread out to the one goal, they lost 1-0 for 5 games and they won the other 6, they would be maybe like second or third right now. 5 goals is good, though.
Yeah.
5 goals is crazy.
No, I mean, defensively, we've been the best in probably in Europe, but. Yeah, because those 2 goals were quite. First of all, the first shot on target ending up in the post. I'm like, guy, this is why you don't work from home sometimes. That's a very good argument for people that clamoring for working from home. Because maybe he was not ready for the goal, Raya. Because he's not been.
Yeah,
he's not had to do anything for a couple of games. I know his that second goal was. He was kind of out of his line, but I don't really blame him, to be honest. It happens.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame Raya, man. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. He just doesn't... I can see in the actor that he barely gets even shots on target. So, like, people against him. Well, I mean, I'm sure he still practices, he still trains, and he's one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League, so he should be okay. Who do you think is better, Raya or Donnarumma?
I'll take Raya over Donnarumma overall, just because of, besides him being a great shot stopper, he has a lot of build-up play. This guy can find even Trossard. Like, his ball-playing ability is one of the best in Europe.
Okay,
and
fair.
His shot-stopping ability is not as good as Donnarumma's own, but he's not far off. So, he's very confident. Even, like, despite being short, crosses into the box. He didn't do a good job last game, but generally, he handles it very well. Yeah. Donnarumma is probably arguably one of the best shot stoppers, maybe just second to Courtois.
Yeah.
I think Raya is top five, maybe even top three safe. But he's definitely up there, at least statistically, with the amount of clean sheets, whether by his power alone or not. But
if that statistically, are you judging by clean sheets or by shot saves? Because really, it's the shot saves.
We didn't go every season.
Golden Glove doesn't have to do much, bro. Your defense is on fucking low, bro. If they don't shoot the ball at me, see me, if I keep for Arsenal, I'll be top five keepers in the league.
Before he joined us, though, I think he had a very high save percentage ratio as well. Probably the highest in the Premier League this season before he joined us in Brentford. At least that's where he was getting enough numbers to calculate. Fair. Because if you're an Arsenal, you're not saving that many shots. The shots you're probably saving, maybe they cut us on encounter. So it's a very high percentage this chance. That's the unfortunate thing. If you're playing the way we do, like having a very high line, a lot of times, maybe the few times that teams will get chances, they will be like great ass chances. So
yeah, you can't lose spirits. You can't lose spirits based on luck for against Arsenal, to be honest.
Yeah, but luckily our defense is very, very astute. Anyway, though, do you have any takes, anything you want to talk about? I think we are done
with this agenda
for today.
I'm not looking forward to watching Norway.
Norway? You're not looking forward to Nigeria. Guy, we are our World Cup hopes.
It's fake hope.
Yeah, we are playing against Gabon, and apparently the referees are from South Africa and one other country that's on amongst our ops. That's crazy.
Why do we even have issues like this? That should not even be an issue. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, if we ball out, it doesn't really matter, actually.
I don't trust Nigeria. They're not reliable, man.
We should be Gabon, though. As long as we can. I think if we get through our African knockout or whatever, we are going to play someone like Panama, a country slower than us. It'll be done. But yeah. One more mention before we go. I know you watched La Liga. I saw that Madrid dropped points, no goals. They've gone two games now without scoring. All of a sudden, the team that was scoring like Kenya, will I say Liverpool don't do them something? But they've not scored. They didn't score today. They didn't score against Liverpool.
I haven't seen their games, but I don't know. Madrid does give me a bunch of inconsistent players.
I think they have good players.
Of course, they have good players. It's Madrid now.
Maybe just of them about them being a team. I don't know, but
yeah.
Luckily enough, they are competing with Barcelona that basically also chooses to ignore the basics of the team.
Their highlights today crazy.
They played against I think Celta de Vigo today. It was 4-2. Crazy game. First half ended 3-2 in favor of Barcelona. But second half, De Jong had a crazy game. I think it was like, you know what? This craziness has to stop. Like, the way the guy was, he was tracking back, trying to move the line back. I was like, yeah, this guy, he had a crazy game. Both half, actually. To me, he had a 10 over 10 performance. Just like,
it would have been nice if you had De Jong, man. Okay.
It was called a hat-trick.
He almost got a hat trick.
Or if not, no, Lewa scored a hat trick.
Oh, Lewa.
So he got the man of the match. Yeah, Lewa scored a hat trick. Got the man of the match. But if it's me, I would have given that man of the match to De Jong, despite the fact that he got a red card. But he was the best player on the pitch.
You can't do that. You can't have somebody score a hat trick and then you get a red card and you give the player that got the red card.
No, of course not. But. Nah, De Jong had a very good game. The red card was, in my opinion, was undeserved. I don't think he deserved. If you watch the foul, you see what I'm talking about. That was not nice. It was second yellow. It was a second yellow, but I think my mic is off. What the hell?
Now they hear you.
Okay. Yeah, it was a second yellow, but the that should, it's not every foul is not yellow, and that referee was terrible today. And Yamal scored a nice goal. Rashford had a pretty good game as well, gave an assist. So I think, at least in terms of Barca's attack, things are starting to click, especially with the fact that Lewandowski is back.
Yeah, I think so. I heard they are trying to let him go after this season. I mean, of course, his salary is crazy, so it makes sense.
They do have Rafinha, sir. That's not a nice person to come in when he comes back from injury. That's not a bad person to come in.
I think they should try and sign Osimhen. See, they're already paying crazy wages, man. As well, Osimhen will be cheaper than Lewandowski and probably get them about the same amount of goals.
Osimhen definitely top four strikers in the world right now.
Yeah, for sure.
He's insane. and it doesn't seem to be letting up. Hopefully he helps us qualify for the World Cup. He deserves to be at the World Cup. And hopefully someone like Barcelona signed him. Obviously, when you're someone that, you know, I love my Gyökeres, but if we had him, damn. He also gives you a similar level of pressing and energy and intensity in games.
Well, we're more goals.
Then, and that's funny, especially since Gyökeres had the most goals in the world last season.
Yeah. But I feel like Osimhen, I feel like he's just done it in higher leagues. And he's just like, he's done it consistently. So it's like, I would put my money more on Osimhen than Gyökeres from last season.
Yeah, Osimhen gives you that unstoppable vibe. Like, I don't think he would struggle against few defenders because he's a grafter. His technique is not too shabby. He has legs on him. Like, he will score goals always. But anyway, though, it was a nice episode. Namdi, it was nice talking to you today.
Please subscribe.
To convene on Thursday. Yeah, make sure you subscribe, like, follow all our social media pages. Thanks.
Peace.